Shalom liYehudim, shalom liBnei Noach, shalom liGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Hei B'Kislev, Parashas VeYetzei, Tavshinayin Zion, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 4 December 2016. Webcasting from the State of Israel in suspended animation. Well, not really. Suspended in midair might be more descriptive. Wrestling every day with the fate of 40 Jewish families living in humble dwellings built on barren land, living there for 20 years now. It's simply disgraceful that the only Jewish state in the world has never been able to stake its claim to the land on which these humble dwellings were erected, and more important, with the aid of every government. The roads were paved, telephone lines, electricity lines, water lines. Only now the High Court demands these innocent Jewish families be turned into homeless refugees. Their homes must be destroyed. Israel took this real estate away from the Jordanians, who had no right to be here for 20 years. This was land the League of Nations pronounced the historical Jewish homeland. And for 50 years since 1967 now, Israel has never been able to proclaim the absolute right of Jews to make their homes and live on these barren hilltops, bothering no allegedly ancient Palestinian people. It's somewhat mind-boggling that the government is daily trying to find some verbal formula that will simultaneously please the High Court that has assumed the role of the gentle Paritz, the tyrant who orders Jews out of their homes and turns them into homeless refugees. I think it is a scandal that Israel has a High Court that easily could have thrown out of court the petition as bogus for this land, all of them. First of all, where were the alleged owners of this land for the first 10 years of alleged land theft? What surely is unknown to world Jewry is that every Jewish community built in Judea and Samaria since 1967 was built on barren land, unworked soil. The settlements displaced no Arab families. None were thrown out of their ancestral homes and forced to live in the street. Israel did not steal tracts of farmland that the ancient ones had worked for generations, steal their orchards and their vineyards. And I find it shocking, but freighted with meaning, that the top story in Israel today remains the approaching dreaded day, December 25, when there's likely to be a Cecil B. DeMille confrontation on this land between thousands of civilians passively resisting and thousands of uniformed police and soldiers who come to drive the 40 Jewish families from their homes and turn these people into homeless refugees. Naftali Bennett is driving the regulation to prevent that. He wants to bless all Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria as legal, as of right, though that's a bit dishonest on his part, playing word games. Bennett wants to annex Area C, and if so, then Israel has the right to annex the other two as well. The recognition of the existence of Areas A, B, and C has been kowtowing to world anti-Jewry. It's part of the Oslo dementia. This division of the land was part of that Oslo delusion in 1993. That has been proven to have been a major bloody flop, yet we continue to honor it by continuing to use these terms and these concepts. What Bennett wants to do is annex the ground under these Jewish communities, but not the surrounding landscape. We are tragically in this fix over Omona, thanks to the continuing results of the Oslo documents. Indeed, what is Netanyahu's tactic of not accepting the Oslo parameters and trying to make the best of a bad deal? Yesterday, he petitioned the High Court for another 30-day stay of execution, so to speak, as he tries to cobble together a law satisfactory to the whole coalition and to the High Court, with the whole nasty business resulting from the acceptance of the lexicon and concepts of the Oslo delusionists, such as the Palestinians and their right to and need for a state. What Israel needs is to do a kind of house cleaning of the mind, and that can start with the realistic judgment that Oslo was a bloody failure, and the whole paradigm needs to be junked. Israel has to proclaim its shameless, guiltless claim to the hills of Judea and Samaria as rightfully Israel's land. It is territory that is three times over, I think, Israel's land, Jewish land. In the words of the League of Nations, this is the historic homeland of the Jewish people. And keep in mind that in 1922, when the mandate went into effect, there was no place called West Bank in the authors of that document's heads. When the authors looked at the map of Palestine that they found in historical works, they saw imprinted the words Judea and Samaria. And if the mandate was to create a Jewish homeland in the historic homeland of the Jews, they had to be thinking of Judea as being part of it. It's where the word Jew comes from, isn't it? That is number one reason why Judea and Samaria belong to us. Number two reason, we took the land away from the attacking Arabs, publicly proclaiming their desire to finish Hitler's work. The Arabs came to destroy our little country in 1967, try for a second time. They wanted to kill a lot of us and loot the wealth that we Jews had created, only we pushed the aggressors back and took away the land they had used for their attacks over two decades. This land is for us Israelis the spoils of war that we're entitled to keep, unless you think, like an anti-Semite, that Jews are unique in the world in not being allowed to keep the spoils of war, and they must return them and allow the aggressor another chance to destroy their little country. Reason number three, this land is at the heart of the Jewish religion. An attack on the right of Jews to live in Judea is an attack on the Bible, whose first five books are about the birth of the children of Israel, this nation, and the gift of this land to them. It's our religion that is under attack when our right to live peacefully in Judea and Samaria is the issue. The resistance to our presence is rejection of the Torah. In any case, I never cease to look on in wonder at Israelis who see no historical connection between Amona and Gaza 11 years ago and the generations of Jews driven from their homes. Only now it happens, now it's Yisrael, and the government is the one doing the wrecking of Jewish homes. The Jewish government and the transformation of Jewish families into homeless refugees is being conducted by this government in Jerusalem, flying the flag of King David. What Israelis so cut off from Jewish history do not see is that the opposition to Jewish life restored in Judea and Samaria is a continuation of Goyim dictating to us where we may or may not live. Judea and Samaria have become the last redoubt on dry land on the planet, where it is permissible, even laudatory, to declare this terrain must be Jew-free. This is what the Arabs say, and this is what World Anti-Jewry says, backing them up. Any place else in the world with a zoning law, barring Jews, would be raked over the coals by the ADL and Alan Dershowitz. But when it comes to Judea and Samaria, Dershowitz reveals his true character as an IBJ, an Inside the Beltway Jew, who rejects the right of Jews to live in Judea and Samaria, just like the anti-Jew Goyim. He proudly states he has opposed the settlements from the very beginning, which is another way of admitting that he has learned nothing over the last biblical generation of 40 years. He has truly also opposed the settlements for a dozen years after the Six-Day War, but the behavior of the Arabs in that time taught me some new things about them and changed my thinking. But not Alan Dershowitz, this fool who twice supported Barack Obama. He has learned nothing about the Arabs and the Muslims all this time, because for a post-Jew like himself, his views on Israel meant, first of all, to portray himself as socially acceptable, and only then does he engage with reasons and facts. On Thursday, National Infrastructure Minister Yuval Steinitz said on Kol Yisrael, the national radio, the day after Mahmoud Abbas was re-elected head of Fatah, that Abbas is Israel's leading enemy, opposed to Israel's existence. He said Abbas will never recognize Israel's right to exist, which is just a quotation from the day before he said that in the meeting. Abbas did. Steinitz also commented on yet another UN General Assembly resolution on Wednesday, in which only the Muslim terms for the Temple Mount were used. He said that resolution was, quote, a bad joke that bordered on anti-Semitism, close quote. Well, I disagree. Steinitz is a fine fellow, but suffers from being a secular sabra with a PhD in philosophy. Steinitz thinks that what the UN General Assembly did bordered on anti-Semitism. I say no, that's exactly what it was. A manifestation of anti-Semitism in our time. what looks different than in other times, but underneath the same hatred of Jews is percolating. Hashem Elech, Hashem Alach, Hashem Imloch Leolam Vaed. Hashem Elech, Hashem Alach, Hashem Imloch Leolam Vaed. Yes, Minister Yuval Steinitz is a post-religious Israeli who looks upon the doings at the UN as bordering on anti-Semitism, when I say that's all it is, Anti-Semitism is, first of all, a word I do not like because it was dishonest the moment it was invented in the mid-19th century. In Germany, or possibly France, it makes no sense because it implies there's such a thing as Semitism, which anti-Semitism opposes. This is gobbledygook. Anti-Semitism as a word arose after European Christians had lost their faith. That barred them from continuing to see and hate Jews as Christ killers, but they still hated them. And anti-Semitism was born in the same years as Darwinism and attempted to be a kind of biological, anthropological theory of race and racial characteristics that made the presence in Europe of Jews obnoxious. In this 19th century climate, the Jewish people was repeatedly referred to not as the Jewish people or Jewish nation, but a race, the Jewish race. And it was early on believed that the Jews were a mongrel race of many peoples, really, had been all over the place. This was Hitler's complaint. He hated the Jews who did not care about race. They were just out to pollute the German bloodstream with their genetic filth and inferiority. And it's no coincidence that today Israel is seen by its haters as a racist society, with a system of apartheid for the different races, just like in South Africa. Enlightened progressive college students today conduct Israel apartheid weeks to act out their delusion about racist Jews. In the 20th century, the Jews were hated by Nazis for their racial impurity, this migratory gypsy-like nation. In the 20th century, the Jews have become the world's worst racists, denying others membership in their nation on the basis of race. We heard this just recently in the survey of Marine Corps General James Mattis's career, the new Secretary of Defense. To his credit, he identifies Iran as the great malefactor in the Middle East. That's good. But he too seems to have been infected with a touch of anti-Jewitis and sounding just like John Kerry and Jimmy Carter, threatening Israel with becoming an apartheid state if it does not genuflect before the ancient Palestinians. Well, you can't have it all. So long as Mattis does not become the architect of policy toward Israel, he should be the man for the job, judging by all the praise he has been given. But I digress. One of Israel's shortcomings, that is, of Israelis, stems from the unavoidable absence in their formative years of living with Gentiles. For them, the word anti-Semitism conjures up images of Nazi stormtroopers goose-stepping and Sieg Heiling, so anything less than that is not for them anti-Semitism. They don't get the resistance to Israel by the Arabs as stemming from their age-old character as desert marauders, in Rashi's Hebrew, listim, and from their religion as well, whose very name reeks with anti-Semitism, with anti-Jewism. As Arabs, they want to steal the wealth we have created. As Muslims, they have a religious justification for it. Islam means submission and points to Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, which story they simply stole and plagiarized. The Midrash teaches Ishmael is a thief. As an Arab marauder, he steals your material possessions, and as a Muslim, he steals your religion. And worse, to turn away from his own guilt, he accuses you of stealing his religion. Instead, Israelis insist upon seeing these Arabs as Palestinians. And there's nothing Palestinian about them. One might as well call them Eskimos or Hottentots. There's nothing Eskimo or Hotten about them either. Steinitz's interview on Kol Yisrael was similar to a remark made the same day by Deputy Foreign Minister Tzipi Hotovelli, who said that in her meeting that day with the visiting foreign minister of Uruguay, she told him to tell Abbas, that was his next meeting of the day, to stop his diplomatic terrorism. She said he attempts to harm Israel in international forums, and that does nothing to move forward any type of agreement, close quote. I hope she does not believe that. I believe that this man, Abbas, has any interest in moving forward to anything. The Palestinians are very much an Israeli invention. They are Israel's delusion about these Arabs, these Muslims, that they are just like other people who want their own state in their ancient homeland. This aspiration is a major ingredient in the fantasy of the Palestinian people. The two-state solution is the solution because that is what the victims of Zionism want. Their own little state in Judea and Samaria and, of course, Gaza. And this, of course, is all historical nonsense. For before the 1970s, there was no Palestinian national movement to speak of for statehood, to imitate the Zionist movement of the Jews. If King Hussein and Amman never saw these Arabs on the other side of the river as another nationality deserving of their own independent state on the other side of the river, Israel should not either. What secular Israelis raised here in this huge ghetto of the state suffer from is that all their classmates in all their school years were Jews, and so they have no experience of the anti-Jew mind at work, and thus do not see the hostility to Israel in the world as not bordering on anti-Semitism. It's nothing but age-old anti-Semitism, hatred of Jews in modern dress. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yes, Israel's secular natives are unavoidably hobbled when it comes to identifying age-old Jew hatred for several reasons, as noted, because they've not any personal experience of it, but also because the ideology of secular Zionism was itself defective in its diagnosis of anti-Semitism, and therefore the Zionist prescription was less than fully effective in responding to the disease. And it is a disease, a mental disorder characterized by delusions of Jewish evil. For example, Giulio Meotti on the Arutz Sheva site on Friday, God bless him, exposed the following story. On November 23rd, he wrote up a bus in use in Rome belonging to the Vatican Travel Agency, which runs pilgrimages to Christian sites here only. As I understood the story, the bus carried advertising for such trips to Palestine. No mention of Israel, no mention of Jerusalem. Visit your Catholic holy sites in Palestine, I guess. A few days later, Mort Klein of ZOA wrote a letter of complaint to the Vatican about such advertising. The Vatican evidently, in answer, lied by saying that the Vatican does not organize such trips. It's an outside contractor or something, but Meotti then exposed that as a lie. Indeed, the Vatican organizes trips for pilgrims to Israel to visit Catholic holy sites, and as such, they're advertised as trips to Palestine. Palestine was, the moment it was invented in the year 135, like anti-Semitism 1700 years later, a lie. Palestina was invented to cover up the name Judea, that had been the name in use by Rome at that point for two centuries. And so the name Palestine, Palestina, was revived in our time, likewise to cover up the name Judea. Today it is the occupied Palestinian territories, a.k.a. the West Bank. And Israelis have only themselves to blame for adopting the vocabulary of world anti-Jewry, which calls these Arabs Palestinians, calls Judea and Samaria the West Bank. Israelis do that too. And even, like all their prime ministers since 1993, the current one supports the right of said Palestinians to a state in Judea and Samaria, taking into consideration, of course, Israel's security concerns. Now, clearly in the matter of the Vatican calling Jerusalem's location Palestine, that's an act of pure dimitude. The name Judea appears in the first verse of the second chapter of the Catholic Church's New Testament, and 41 other times throughout the volume, Jesus never called the area Palestine, so why does the Vatican? The name Palestina would not be invented for a century after Jesus was crucified along with 250,000 other Jews. How ironic, if that's the right word here. Due to the foundational defect in secular Zionism, the absence of religion, that hobbled the secular Zionist understanding of the Arabs, Herzl's state produced a Jewish community that refers to the Arabs here as Palestinians, which then bestows upon them a claim to Palestine because they are the Palestinians. Israel admits they are Palestinians and therefore have as much right to sovereign independence in Palestine as Germans in Germany and Russians in Russia and Turks in Turkey. Because Israel's secular Zionists did not identify with the promise of this land made by their ancestor, made to their ancestor Avraham, the promise made to Yitzhak and Yaakov as well of this land, they never have been able to respond to the claims of Palestinian nationalism by saying, this land belongs exclusively to the Jewish people and to no other. Official Israel, official post-religious Israel, has never denied the Palestinian claim and therefore finds itself constantly on the defensive. The Torah teaches that when Israel is punished by exile, at least its homeland will not be inhabited by another people. And so it was a wasteland. Into the 19th century, there is abundant evidence of that in photographs, correspondence, official government and diplomatic documents. But modern Israel has let the lie of a Palestinian people with identical rights to this land grow and fester. And that happened because secular Israelis are so stripped of religious life the ideology, if you will, that sustained these people for thousands of years, not only in homeless exile, but under constant attack, abuse, persecution, and even slaughter. And for this reason as well, the top story in Israel today remains the ongoing word games inside the government, whose purpose is to find a verbal construct that will satisfy the post-religious high court that is incapable of justifying Jewish life reborn on patches of land and wasteland, and at the same time keep the Jews at Amona in their humble dwellings. Why must these innocent Jews suffer by having their homes destroyed? Okay, and that's it for this first night of the week, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.